He's not asking for an inheritance. He says, give me. I think many of you have kids, right? If you realize, sometimes your kids will come and say, give me, give me, give me. Right? Because they want it. And that's the way, because he's demanding from his father. He thinks, I'm entitled to all the things that you have. I'm entitled. So he says, give me, give me. And you know, Luke is very careful. He doesn't use the word inheritance. Because, you know, inheritance is always given when the father is dead. Right? The father is still living. And he says, give me the portion. The father could have easily denied and said, you know, I'm still alive. Why should I give you? Right? I've not made my will. I did not give you because I'm still alive. In the Jewish culture, right? If you're alive, the inheritance doesn't go to any kids until you're dead and gone. So this son is demanding from the father. You know, sometimes have you realized in our Christian life, we also demand from God. Right? We demand, Lord, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I belong to you. There was a time I accepted you as Lord and my Savior. You know, I demand. And we think we are entitled to because we are Christians, right? We call ourselves Christians, so I'm entitled to all the things, blessings that, you know, that I see in the scriptures. And so the son is saying the same thing. And when I look at that word, I realize, you know, from this particular verse, you know, I realized the father's unchanging love. You know, when I was reading into this text, I was telling myself, you know, the father could have easily said, no. Right? No way. I'm still alive. Why should I give you? What did you do? You're just my son. Right? That's all. I need not give you. The father could have actually withheld all the things. He could have not given him. Did you realize the father did not ever speak any word? Did not argue? Have you asked yourself why? Right? Probably I thought, if I read into the scriptures, I was thinking, maybe the father has spoken to you many times, but this guy has not been listening. Right? Sometimes it's not words. Probably he said, you know, no, I'm not going to speak to him. Right? I'm just going to give him. Just going to give him. Because probably the father was hurt. He was sad, right? I've spoken to him many times, right? He has hinted to me. I've seen the way he has acted or reacted in the house, and I know that he's going to ask me. You know, and so the father is, he could have actually withheld and said, no, I'm not giving you. I'm giving to the eldest son because he's loyal to me. But that's where I see God's love, my friend. Have you realized there are moments in our life we don't deserve? We don't deserve God's blessings, right? When I was looking at this particular passage, I was asking myself, right, how many times I've disobeyed God? At the same note, I was asking myself, you know, even I've disobeyed God, I've received blessings from God. God has not failed me. He has protected me. He has provided me, right? He has assured me that of his presence and of his providence, right? So when I start counting my disobedience and God's blessings, many a times I see, you know, God's blessings weighs much more, right? There are moments, you know, sometimes we tend to skip reading the scriptures, right? Or maybe, you know, we fall back in our Christian life, but God's presence is always there, right? He provides, right? On our roads, he protects us, he guides us, my friend. And that's the unchanging love the father. The father could have, you know, slapped him and said, you know, you don't deserve, right? Why should I give it to you? Get out of my place. No, the father gave him, right? Even though, you know, it hurt him a lot, he gave him. I think that's the love of the father, the unchanging. Dear friends, you know, many times I think you and I don't deserve. There are moments we don't even pray for a certain thing, but God still gives his blessings to our life. And that's the unchanging love of the Father. Let's look at the scriptures. If you have your passage, let's look at the Son once again, right? The path the Son takes. Very interesting passage when I look at it. You know, three W's when the Son takes. Firstly, you know, he gets all the wealth, right? In the Greek word, I'm not going to use Greek word, I'm just going to say, we got together. In other words, according to the Greek text, it means he took all the things, all the tangible things, put it into eBay, converted it into cash. He doesn't want to leave anything behind, right? Not even his shoes that one day I'll come back, or maybe a pair of clothes that, you know, one day I'm going to come back. He converted everything. In other words, you know, I want to get the maximum out of this place, the maximum wealth, and I don't want to do anything with my father's house. And that's, he got together all that he had, my friend. He converted anything. I know some of you are married, right? Whenever you, when you get married, you know, sometimes in your mom's place, you leave a clothing behind because you know one day you'll come back, you know, like maybe a weekend to stay. But this guy was totally different. He converted every tangible thing into cash because he didn't want to have. He wanted the maximum out of it, my friend. Secondly, when you look at it, you know, it says from wealth, he thought, you know, he's going to enjoy life. But it was actually a waste that was actually happening. Look at the word very carefully, right? It says he took his journey. I'm looking at the King James Version. It says he took his journey. In other words, his own way of living. This is the way I want to go. This is the path I want to take. Not the learnings that I've received from my father. You have told me, you know, in life, these are the things that you need to do. This is the path that you should take. No. That's why Luke is very careful by saying, he told himself, I'm going to take my journey, my way, my route, not the teachings that I've received from my father. Not the Christian values I've been brought up. Right? And that's why, you know, he says he took his journey, his own decision, and then he went into a far country. You know, very interesting, it says far country, like Plato uses the word also. You know, it means, you know, it's out of the limits of the city, right? In other words, you know, I don't want to be within the city. I want to be out of limit. I don't want to have any connection. I want to burn all bridges. I don't want to have any relationship with my father. Can you imagine? And that's what he decided, right? He thought, you know, by doing that, he can be much more independent. By doing that, he thought, you know, I will be a hero. I will be in control of my life. But he doesn't realize it's actually a waste that was actually happening to him. And then, the second meaning of this word, far country, means, right, I was looking at certain writings. It says, it's a place of nothingness. In other words, he thought, I'm going far away, because I'm going to be somebody, because I'm going to take my own journey. It also means it's a place that's nothing. He thought he's going to be something or someone wealthy, but he doesn't realize he's going to be nothing, my friend, in that far country. And sometimes when we make our own decisions, we think, you know, I will be something. But let me tell you, if I'm not having a relationship with God, if I'm not experiencing God's love, if I'm taking my own journey, my friend, let me tell you, you know, you might think, you know, I'm building up my life, but it's worthless. It's not going to help us at the end of the day. Let's look at the passage. And it says, he wasted his substance. In other words, the way the word is used here, he threw his money in the air. Very interesting word. Luke doesn't use the word that he invested his money. He wasted his money. He threw it into the air. Right? You don't get it back again. And that was his life. So he was just wasting. He was thinking, you know, my own life, my own journey. I don't want to follow God's values, his plan for my life. He thought, you know, it's a gain, it's a waste. I want to be far away, you know, but then he realized, so that I can be somebody, you will be nobody, my friend, without God. And that's what God's word says. And then he wasted and he spent all that was that he had. There was no investment in him. What is happening, right? The third W, woe, right? It means, right? It says that when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Can you imagine? Now he's going through some difficult moments. There are difficulties that he faced, right? There was a mighty famine. There was no food in the land. And not only that, you know, he was in want. That there was, he was in need. Very interesting word in the Greek text. It means, it's a medical term that's used, in want. In other words, it's a medical term when a mother conceives a child, right? So the umbilical cord is just like surrounding the neck of the child. The child has difficulty to survive. It's difficult to survive. That's the word Dr. Luke is using, the medical term. It's like a child struggling to survive, right? It's struggling by its own means, by its own, the child is killing itself because the child has been caught in the umbilical cord, my friend. He's in that kind of a need, not just a need, he's in one, he's about to die. That's the end of his life. He thought he would be someone by being far away, by spending all the things that he can, but he didn't realize that he will be in want. He will be going through difficulties. Then in verse 16 it says, you know, he works in a pig farm. And what's happening, right? He's eating the food that is given to the pigs. Now, what a shameful thing. In the Jewish culture, you're not supposed to touch a dirty pig. And this Jewish boy, what's happening? He's working for a person, probably a Gentile owner. And what a shame, right, to come to that kind of level. Right? And no one would love to see the boy do like that. And I know when I look at this world today, you know, sometimes I think that's a consequence of our sins, right? Sometimes because of sin, we go through famine in our life. We face challenges, difficulties in our life. And let me tell you, sin kills you. Slowly, but surely it kills you. In what? And then what happens? I think you become a slave to the sin, my friend. He was just eating the food that is given to the pigs. I think that's the result of sin that happens, right, when we don't live a life for Christ. Let's go back to the Father. When I look at this, I don't know how many of you will agree, sometimes God allows famine in our life. Have you realized that? Right? Because He loves us. That's the discipline of the loving discipline of God. Sometimes God allows certain things, right? Sometimes He needs to knock you down so that, you know, you can say, Lord, I realize I cannot. I need you. Sometimes God takes away all the securities that you have been leaning on so that you will find out who you are and you realize that you have nothing and you need God, and the only security is in God alone. And there are moments that God, you know, disciplines us. And according to Hebrews, there are many passages, but in Hebrews, if you realize, it says, you know, because of the Lord's disciplines of one He loves. Right? I do not know how many of us are going through disciplines in our life, but let me tell you, you know, God still loves you. You know why? He wants you to come back. Because in the Father's house, there's plenty. Right? Plenty of food. You need not be in want. You can always rejoice. And that's the loving discipline of the Father, you know, I see in this particular passage. Let's go back, right, and see the repentance of the Son. You know, one of the secondary theme of this particular passage is repentance. It's not about the lost son alone. It's the repentance of the son, right? How do I repent today, right? And I look at the passage very carefully. It says, when he came to his senses, in other words, there was a change of mind, right? Repentance starts when you come to your senses. Sometimes God allows certain difficulties so that, you know, that you will come to your senses. Because That's the first thing that needs to happen. If you want to repent, you need to come to your senses, my friend, because your senses makes a lot of decisions. Right? There was a change in his mind. And what happened? Secondly, you know, there's a change in direction. It says he came to his father. The Greek word, once again, it is not just he's just walking. He told himself that I'm going to take a path that leads me to my father. And that's the word Dr. Luke is using here. You know, he deliberately told, intentionally told himself, this is the path I'm going to take, and I'm going to progress. In the Greek text, it also means he's progressing. It's coming near, as James put it, draw near to God, and he draws near to you. And so that's the way he's taking. I want to draw near to my Father. And that's repentance, my friend. It's not just change of mind, but it's also a change of direction that leads me to the Father. And I'm going to progress towards the place my Father resides. He's progressing. That's repentance. You know, imagine when the Father sees the Son. I'm going to close, right? I see three things. I see the reception of the Father. You know, when you are really truly repentant, the Lord knows. One word which I wanted to share with you, very interesting, you know, you see the repentant. Let me just backtrack. You know, when he, first time he left, he said, give me. Look at the word very carefully. But then, when you look at this particular passage, in verse 19, he says, make me. That's repentance. He said, give me, give me, give me. But then in 19, it says, I'm going to tell my Father, make me. That's repentance. Make me your, as your servant. That's repentance, my. It's not only change of mind, but telling God, Lord, make me, Lord, your servant. And I want to draw near you, draw closer to you. Three things about the faithful love of the Father. First, I think the reception. You realize what is happening. It says, the word says, right, the Father saw him and was filled with compassion. In English, we have present tense, past tense, future tense. Am I right? Let's do some English class today. But in the Greek, in this particular word, compassion, or related with compassion for him, there is no tense at all. In other words, it means, in the past, the Father loved him. In the present, the Father loves him. In the future, the Father will still love him. That's the kind of love. The Father did not say, no, I'm gone. He's done. That's it. It's a new chapter. I've got nothing to do with my son. He has got his share, has given him. I've done my duty. No, the Father still loved him when he was away. And the Father was still loving him, and even in the future is going to still love him. That's the tense in the Greek word which is used here, my friend. He said that was the, you know, the Father, you could have looked at him angrily, like maybe today if we had a son like that, probably we will say, you know, let's close the door, I got no place for him or her, right? But the Father's love doesn't say that's the reception of love. Love is fully involved in this particular word. And that's why the passages, you know, when you look at scriptures, it says, God loves us before the foundation of the world. Right? In the mother's womb, word says, I know you. I knew you. That's God's love, my friend. God's love is so special. Right? Secondly, I realize there's a resolution. What's happening here? Right? You know, the Father says, no. The Father said to the servant, quick, bring the best robe. You know, for a moment I was telling myself, because this guy, as I told you, he sold every tangible thing in eBay. So there's nothing left for him, right? And definitely he's not going to wear his brother's clothes, right? But the brother is not going to give him because the brother is very upset. And so he got nothing in the Father's place, house. So it means The father told the servants, bring the best robe. The best robe is always worn by the father. And the father is saying, bring my coat. That's the best. And bring it to my son. Give it to him. I think that's what I read, you know, in Isaiah 61:10. You know, it says, the father covers us with his righteousness, my friend. Right? He covers us with his righteousness. By his best clothes, he covers us because of love for us. And then, that is purity. Then secondly, if you realize, he says, no, give him the rings. That's a privilege. You have access to the funds again. You have access to the wealth again. He has access to all the things the father has. That's the sign, right? The father could have said, you know, you have taken your share, you know, probably you need to work, and then I will pay you. No, the father says, you know, give him the ring, because now he has full access to the funds. He has full access to all the things that I have. It also belongs to him. And then he gives him the sandals, right? So look very careful about every tiny word, uses the word sandals. I mean, in other words, he has the position. Now he is my son again. He has all the right, all the privilege attached because he's my son. He's no more a slave. He's my son. Can you imagine? Right? Can you imagine? Probably, you know, earthly fathers might not do that, but that's the love of the heavenly father. He covers us by his cloth of righteousness. That's what Isaiah 61 says, right? And then he gives us a ring. Even though we have used up all the things that God has given to us, but God says, you still have access to all the funds, to all the things that I have stored. Like, you still have a position. You are still my son, right? And you will always be my son. And lastly, I realize there's a rejoicing that's happening here. Right? Do you realize what was happening in this particular situation? There was a famine. Right? There's no food in the land. But the father says, bring the fattened calf, and let's have a great party. Right? I think that's God's love, my friend. The father could have easily said, you know, my son, you know, it looks like, you know, things are bad nowadays. So let's have a small party. No. He says, bring the fattened calf. Right? Even though there is famine in the land, when God rejoices, that's the way he rejoices, my friend. He wants to give us all the things. And that's the God that, you know, that we worship. And let's rejoice. Why? Why rejoice? Because it means the father wants to have a relationship with the son. It's not just throwing a party. It means, you know, I want to have a relationship with my son. That's important to me. I want to have fellowship with the son. And that's why we come for Holy Communion. Why do we eat together? Because God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to have a fellowship with us, my friend. And that's what is happening here. Can you imagine the father's love? He receives us. His love for us never changes. There's one thing I forgot to say, you know, when the father, you know, it says in verse 20, he says the father ran to the son. Why should he run to the son? Because the son is coming back home, right? Why should he run? Can you imagine? Probably this father is an elderly guy, right? And it's difficult for him to run because in those days, you know, they wear long robes, you know. If it's a short skirt, it's easy for him to run. But it's long robes, it's difficult. But why should he run? Have you ever asked why? Does the father want to test, you know, who is faster? Is it my son or me? I don't think so. You know, one of the reasons the father is running, because if you look at the words very carefully in Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21, you know, if a son of that kind does to a family, and if he's coming back home, you know, the villagers or the people in the town can actually stone him. Because he's a rebellious son. He's not worthy to come back home. And so the father is running. Before anyone throws a stone on my son, I want to get hold of him. I want to protect him, my friend. That is the reason the father is running. I don't want anyone to condemn my son because I have forgiven him. It belongs to me. I don't want any person to throw stones of accusation or judgment on my son. It belongs to me, and he comes running to me, and I want to hold him before someone will snatch him away and hit him hard. And that's the reason the father was running to the son, my friend. The father kissed him. Right? Can you imagine? Where was the son last? He was dwelling with pigs. Right? Do you think it will smell nice? Probably 50 meters away, you already know that something bad is coming. Right? Some bad odor is coming. The father could have said, take a shower first before I hug you. No. He hugged him. In the Greek word, he kissed him. The Greek word it means, it was, can you imagine? The dirt, I was trying to imagine the particular passage. The dirt, the smell, you know, the odor. It says in the Greek word, kissed. He was just kissing non-stop. Non-stop. It's bad smell, right? I know he did not kiss him this way. He would have kissed him because he loves him. I think it's important for the father to see the son coming back, my friend. You might think, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm a filthy rag. I have a lot of dirt in my body. But you know, God, he wants to hug us and kiss us. He's happy because you came back home. He runs to you before someone condemns you. Because he has forgiven you. He doesn't want anyone to condemn you. He has forgiven you. He runs. And that's the faithful love of God. Let me finish by saying this. Dear friends, I think God's love is real. I do not know whether the illustration I'm going to share, whether it's relevant, but I know many of you came back from holidays. Many of you came back from Spain, Portugal, even myself, you know, and some, you know, a lot of people came back holidays, right? And, you know, I was, you know, there were times when my wife and I were flying back, you know, there were turbulence. Certain turbulence when they go into certain pockets, right, can be really bad. For a moment, you know, when turbulence of that nature happens, normally I pray. First thing is I ask for forgiveness, right, because I do not know what is going to happen to the plane. But I realized when I was, you know, the plane sitting and just, you know, when turbulence was pretty bad, you know, and I looked at some of the kids who were sitting beside. They were reacting differently. They were so excited because the plane is going this way, and they were so excited. And some of the kids were like saying within themselves, you know, one more time. For us, you know, let it stop. For them, one more time, because it was like a roller coaster for them. You know, when I was looking at it, I was telling myself, you know, if God is my pilot, then I will say, Lord, one more time, because I'm not afraid, because you're my pilot. You're disciplining me, Lord. So one more time. If God is not my pilot, if God is not my Savior, if He's not my Lord, He's not my Father, then I'll have fear. I'll be worried. Dear friends, you know, if God is your Father, if you're going through difficulties, but don't be worried. The Lord says, I love you. I'm just testing your faith. I'm just disciplining you. I'm just making you just lean on me. His love for us is always real. Let's pray. I believe there are moments in our life, or times in our life, or even periods in our life that we tend to ask, Lord, do you really love me? Even in my life, I've also said the same chorus. Lord, do you really love me? Why did you allow this? Why did you allow this turbulence, oh God? Certain things hasn't happened in our terms, in our ways, God.